Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Because everybody says after the All-Star break, well, now we've got to buckle down. Now this means business.
What does that mean?
You know, now we've got to show what we are. And you listen to the broadcast. There's 37 games left. You listen to the broadcast and you listen to F.P. Santangelo. And without being too critical of F.P. Santangelo.
Fairly positive, baby.
What he says on almost every player is this. Man, he's getting locked in now.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting locked in.
Look
now,
out, come October.
There's 37 games. You get locked in now.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
I'm getting locked in now. We're at Chatter. This is the last show of the, it's not the calendar year. It's
of the
sort
summer.
Of the contract year, yeah. And it is the summer. We will begin again in earnest next Tuesday. Right, next Tuesday,
that's
the day
right,
after
yeah.
Labor
the 4th,
Day,
the 4th.
In earnest, and then we're going to do, you know,
every day,
four or five shows a week or something like
we
that.
We don't
we're
make
gonna,
it rain.
We're going to do that.
Four or five.
Did anybody, by the way, Chris Saliz is here, Gary Braun is here, Kevin Sheehan
Who?
On a rare day off from being the morning drive king of yeah. Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
is sitting in. Bill Isaacson is here. Nigel's going to do the news. No, Kevin's going to do the news. Nigel's going to run
All
the
All right.
Board. Did anybody...
Throwback Thursday.
So long,
yeah,
Nigel.
I got that. Everybody was up early. I just want to mention this. The beautiful full moon that was out
Glorious.
Last night
oh,
and
beautiful.
This morning when I walked Chessie at 5 and I got to see the beautiful full moon. From now on, we are in a waning
oh,
moon
this is a waning,
situation.
Waning gibbous?
This is waning.
Gibbon. Waxing
but
gibbon.
It was
gibbon,
really
it
beautiful, wasn't it?
It was gorgeous yeah. and reddish.
Let me do. I didn't see the reddish.
It was last night reddish.
Yeah,
this
last
morning
night.
At 5.
Cameron reddish.
Not reddish. Oh, not reddish at
yes.
all.
JJ reddish.
You know what they say, red sky at night,
sailor's
delight.
Show myself
red
out.
Sky at morning, sailors take warning.
Oh, I thought it was red sky at dawn, sailors be warned or something like that.
Well,
that
would have a total.
But red sky in middle of the day,
right?
Don't go stay away.
Yeah, stay away. Yeah.
Right.
All right, NFL specials. Chatter. We are at Chatter. I failed to mention that. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. Excuse me, in Friendship Heights. And I've been handed by our general manager, Rhonda Giovanni.
Is this a for-profit business?
It is a full-service for-profit restaurant.
That's good to know.
That's good to
Breakfast
mention.
Breakfast starting on a daily basis next Tuesday. NFL season kickoff party. This is for Thursday, September 6th. This is next Thursday, not this coming Thursday,
right.
Next Thursday.
Falcons-Eagles, yo.
Halftime buffet, light fare, complimentary with a drink purchase. You buy a drink, you get some hors d'oeuvres. There's Bud Light or Budweiser bottle and a shot of Jim Beam,
$11. Ooh, how about that?
Wings and a beer, a single or a double order of wings and any happy hour beer, $13 for the single, $18 for the double. You may as well roll for the $18.
Yeah.
This is much cheaper when you consider that. Pictures of any of 21 taps are available and plastic party pint. My daughter tried to explain this to me. We give you a pint that's plastic and you can use it and reuse it and get discounts every time you reuse it.
Take that? What do you mean, a plastic party pint?
It's a.
Ron,
it's,
speak English. You don't know. Is what, it like a pitcher? Are you reusable pitcher or something?
Like if you're in Rehoboth or Dewey, you go to like the Rudder, you get the plastic cup.
Right. Okay.
Bring back every Sunday. That gets
so that's
it. Got it.
Oh,
got it.
So it's a $1
for Miller Lite, $5 cocktail of the day, $5 rotating beer menu. This is we are going to be football
Deals.
Central.
Yeah.
And by the way,
great place to watch games.
Did you do you know that
multiple TV?
I had forgotten about this. This week. College football kicks off
yes.
with like fabulous games.
Great games Saturday night. Michigan Notre Dame. Washington Auburn.
I spoke.
We're rooting
I
for
spoke,
Notre Dame because of Brian Polian.
Of course.
Wow.
I spoke,
yes.
I spoke just yesterday with Brian Polian.
Right.
Who wanted to know essentially
Coach Polian to you.
Who did the schedule thing? He's like, how does this work that we're starting this way? We were talking about other matters, which remind me I have to talk to you about.
Just come here for football.
Yes.
We've got lots
Coach
of televisions.
Harbaugh.
I was thinking that we should put various flags outside of various teams, but maybe not. Maybe we should see. I don't really know. I mean, you know what? I'm not smart enough to know. But come here for football because we've got a lot of televisions and we've got a lot of beer.
Are you showing the Georgetown Marist game?
I don't think we're showing Georgetown.
That's
Marist.
On ESPN +++.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
we
got that one on tape.
So
being narrowcast.
The Marist Red Foxes.
If I had to choose a news story to begin with, then I do because that's the show I'm doing. so it would just be I would mention briefly that Hawaii won the Little League yesterday. They beat a team from South Korea,
for
and
the
I'm
third
so
time,
happy
right?
Kevin is here.
Yeah.
Because this is the question I've had, and I will tell Kevin what the answer was yesterday from Pete Creedon, who is not a meteorologist.
Volcanologist.
He's not a meteorologist.
Team Coco contributor.
I said to everybody, to Arch and to Courtney and to Creedon, and Creedon, of course, ran his yap about this, and maybe he's right, I don't know. I said there's a hurricane, which, by the way, I thought in the Asian half of the world was referred to as a typhoon and not a hurricane.
That's right.
So that sort of confused me. There is a currently an enormous
hurricane,
slow-moving hurricane right in Hawaii. And I said, wouldn't that get rid of the lava? And Creedon said, no. I thought it was a rock, paper, scissor deal. I thought rain would stop
would trump fire.
That's what. Now what? Now you are a meteorologist
rock,
of a sort.
Of a sort. I don't think the rain actually will snuff out lava.
Well, that's what Creedon said.
The lava, by the way, Tony, comes from the ground. If it's burning on the ground, the rain would help.
Well, the rain comes from the
sky. But the rain comes from the sky, and the fire and lava comes from the ground.
That is insightful.
Yeah.
But wouldn't 40 inches of rain stop lava?
No. The answer is no.
Really? Bill Isaacson, you're a trained lawyer. Bill has no opinion on this.
What does he know?
Bill has no opinion on this. So you're saying no.
No, no, contundum.
Tony, it would appear, based on a quick Google search, that you are correct. Once a tropical cyclone reaches maximum sustained wind of 74 miles per hour or higher, it is then classified as a hurricane
or
a typhoon. Or cyclone, depending upon where the storm originates
but
in the world.
But I thought, is it originates Hawaii in Asia, or does it not qualify as Asia because it's part of the United States?
That's right.
Yeah,
so it's a hurricane, in Hawaii,
is a hurricane.
Typhoon over in Asia.
In the western North Pacific, hurricanes are called typhoons. Similar storms in the Indian Ocean and South Pacific are called cyclones.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So
let me get to
the Iowa
what
cycle.
I
got
think.
That straight.
It was more of a rainmaker in Hawaii, not a windmaker.
So it made it rain?
It made it rain.
There are two big deaths. I don't know how else to put this. They're not going to get angry because they're gone. There are two big deaths. John McCain, a senator, a patriot, a prisoner of war, an American hero, born to a military family and born clearly to service. Clearly to service on every level. John McCain announced, or his family announced, on Friday afternoon that he would no longer fight the brain cancer, which meant he had a very short time to live. And NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt did the first 15 minutes on John McCain, which in my mind was a direct signal from the family. You can do this. You can do this. There's not long. Other than the President of the United States, no one has ever said a discouraging word about John McCain.
This is true.
No one at all. John McCain... You covered him here and there. John McCain, I met him a few times. Big sports fan.
Huge.
I mean, huge. If you want a guy who literally call in to a sports talk radio show, John McCain would do that. What were your thoughts, Chris? Tory Clark worked for him. So
yeah,
Tory's
I would say a guy whose life, I wrote about this, a guy whose life I think is defined by sort of not a... quick path upwards, not a ascent without descent, but a guy who sort of just kept getting up. I mean, everyone knows about or you should if you don't.
The tortures.
If you don't, go read The Nightingale Song by Robert Tinberg, which is an amazing book about Jim Webb, one-time Senator McCain, and others. But his presidential campaigns, to lose in 2000 the way he did to Bush in the primary— and then to go back and be in the Senate, and then to lose in 2008 the way he did to Obama, and then
both
go back
men
and spend,
are eulogizing him.
Yes, to go spend a decade after that in the U.S. Senate doesn't happen all that often. I think he is someone who, I watched For Whom the Bell Tolls, which is CNN's documentary with HBO about McCain's life. It's 2 hours. It's very good. You know, the guy has had a life that is unimpeachably heroic, essentially. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Keating 5,
Sarah Palin.
He has acknowledged mistakes, but if you look at the breadth of his life in service, there are not
I could give you Dwight Eisenhower, but that's of a previous general. Mm-hmm. John Glenn.
Right.
There's him and John Glenn.
Sure. There's just not that many people. And you know,
because a lot of the other guys misremembered where they were in the war.
That's correct.
A lot of the other elected officials
thought I was in Vietnam. Oh, I'd never been in Vietnam.
I wasn't.
Right. One guy he would understand if he chose to forget about the war. You know, that'd be McCain would be the guy who would.
And the other thing I would say for the purposes of our show is he had a great sense of humor, which is and didn't take himself too seriously, which I think is underrated in politics.
Pal of Wilbon's, truly. I mean, Wilbon and he used to hang out in Arizona, and
Fitz.
Everybody liked him. Yes,
oh, Larry, Fitz spoke about him misty-eyed last night during the game. If you watched that,
yes,
I mean.
So John McCain deserves all of that.
He will lie in state in Arizona either today or tomorrow, and then lie in state here later in the week, and then be buried at the Naval Academy in Annapolis.
Which is what his wish was, correct. The Naval Academy. His other wish was that the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue not go.
Actually, his most recent public wish was that, and Chris will remember, how did he term it, that there were a return to natural order for the House and Senate? Is that what he talked about?
He made a speech. I mean, he had the same. I don't want to go on too long, but he had the same cancer that killed Ted Kennedy and Beau Biden. I mean, this is there's no basically.
Yes, it's
basically
very
a
moving
year.
To have seen Joe Biden talk to Meghan McCain.
Yes, it's basically a year. So he knew that he was not long for the world, and he gave a speech which I would encourage people to read, in which he tried to urge that we sort of find our better angels. Now, again, I will note Donald Trump's statement about. Him was this. It was a tweet. My deepest sympathies and respect go out to the family of Senator John McCain. Our hearts and prayers are with you! Exclamation point. And then
was upon the announcement that he'd stopped treatment. That was
no. That was when he died. That was when he died. He didn't say anything when he stopped.
The White
treatment.
House must have ordered the flags at half mast because they are at half mast.
They are not. At half mast,
they were at
no
Columbia
the Capitol.
Club.
The Capitol is
Ben Hogan ordered Maryland's at half mast.
You mean Larry Hogan?
Larry Hogan.
The U.S. Capitol is
Ben Hogan.
The U.S. Capitol is at half mast. The White House is not.
They were at the Washington Monument as well.
Yes,
and reports this morning were that Trump had nixed a White House statement about it, and
because
he's four.
Well, if you see look. The bigness of John McCain reflects the smallness of Donald Trump. I mean...
All right. There's one other death, very consequential. Neil Simon, who brought laughter to hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people in the United States and around the world, and who wrote, among other things, The Sunshine Boys and Plaza Suite and Prisoner of Second Avenue and Come Blow Your Horn and Laughter on the 23rd Floor and Barefoot in the Park and Brighton Beach Memoirs and all of them... All of them are eclipsed by The Odd Couple, because The Odd Couple is the seminal work of comedy in the 20th century in the United States of America. Everybody gets The Odd Couple. Everybody understands The Odd Couple. There is some talk, I mean, in stuff that I've read, people being critical of Neil Simon for not, you know, using his vehicle to explain the pain that people have and why comedy masks. Shut up. He made people laugh for 40 and 50 years. He did nothing but make people laugh. He worked with, at one point, all these guys were writing your show of shows, the Sid Caesar Hour in the 50s. He worked with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, who are still alive, in their 90s, still alive. Howard Morris, Woody Allen was part of that group. I mean, this was the greatest. If you think the Brill Building was the greatest petri dish of rock and roll music, and it was, your show of shows was the petri dish for comedy in America. I mean, just all of these people went on to brilliant, brilliant careers. And he was called Doc Simon, and I used to think he was called, everybody called him Doc, all his friends called him Doc. I used to think it was because he would be brought in to treat a play.
Like script doctor?
No, but it wasn't. He just, as a kid, he walked around with a stethoscope around his neck.
That is awesome.
Who knows why?
What a
who
good
knows
bit.
Why? You know, and his it is simply his body of work, right?
It's incredible.
Just
that's
amazing.
Astonishing.
I mean, I think I read he had written over 50.
Larger than Woody Allen's.
Over 50. Plays and screenplays combined. I think it was like over 30 plays and 20 something screenplays. I mean, that is prolific. He was just cranking them out, and there was a period of time where they were
always funny.
Yeah.
Always.
Now, you can't write the same joke. So if you've got that many good things that you've written, and you've written all those different jokes, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. And again, in The Odd Couple, and anybody who's seen The Odd Couple, The Odd Couple in its various iterations, knows when he throws it and he goes, now it's garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just the greatest thing.
Yeah, Walter
thing.
Matthau.
It's the greatest thing. When Matthau, what's the character?
Oscar Madison.
Right, Felix
and
Unger.
Felix Unger, very specifically, Unger. Forgive this with the initials FU, because it led to one of the great jokes in all of it. And everybody knows the difference between Oscar Madison and Felix Unger, and everybody is typed that way. I mean, in its own way, that's the joke that is made in that really sort of funny movie, Romy and Michelle's
High School Reunion.
Where it says, I want to be the Mary and you be the Rhoda. That's Oscar and Felix.
Right.
That's the female version of that. I mean, that is so great. By the way, can be played by any ethnic group. Can be played by women. Can be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it is a vessel for comedy. It's that, anything better than that?
I'm looking through
Woody Allen has had movies that you go, that's the greatest movie, but the sort of recurrent characters of Oscar and Felix, nothing's better.
In his New York Times obit, which I would recommend to that, and the McCain obit is amazing. This is an amazing statistic. In 1966, Neil Simon had 4 hit shows on Broadway at once.
That's the Beatles.
At once.
Yeah, can crazy. You do that? It takes a year to write these things. Cast them, get them done, maybe more.
Born on the 4th of July.
Is that right?
How much longer did the show come out?
It's a different movie.
After the movie?
I have no idea.
Klugman and Tony Randall. Was that a show in the 60s
show.
Or 70s?
No, 70s. It was play, movie, TV show.
Yeah, play, movie, yeah, because Art Carney was originally in the play.
Yeah, 65 play, 68 movie adaptation, 70 sitcom. Okay. Yeah. So 5 years
Well,
total.
And then again in 2015.
Let's get out of here.
Probably no Quincy.
We will come back.
Well, yes.
Bill Livingston of the Cleveland Plain Dealer will join us so we can talk about Urban Meyer, which is, how else should I put this? This is a disgrace. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is my favorite read. It's the Lowe's read, my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. Mm-hmm. Because I used to go other places for Craftsman products because I've been a tool head for quite some time. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup, and we are partial to Craftsman because of the Rouse Brothers.
History there.
Our mechanics tool sets in gunmetal finish. What's so great about that? Well, the gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, and you should be, it makes them easier to clean. Lowe's carries a 51 piece and an 81 piece mechanics tool sets in the gunmetal chrome finish. Get the 81, don't be stupid. The set comes with the new industry leading Craftsman 120 tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, as Gary's often are, then you definitely need to check out the 120 tooth ratchet.
Yeah, well, the more teeth is better.
It's got a 3-degree arc swing. Do you know what that does? Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't,
please,
but I do
us.
Now. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots.
Well, you
with
said that in a very manly fashion.
Slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces.
Oh,
know what I'm saying?
Oh,
with
baby.
Ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. And remember, lefty-loosey, righty-tighty.
Huh.
Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. So shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by a guy who calls himself Dan. He's actually Dr. Daniel P. Moriarty III, and he writes, I'm a lunar geologist. Working for Noah Petro at NASA Goddard.
Noah, a NASA guy.
Big I get in touch to submit a song or two for the show. I play drums for two pretty different bands. So if you use more than one song, that would be rad, which I think is radical.
Yes.
And that would be good. Radical is good.
Not bad We're meaning play, bad, but bad good. Meaning good.
We're going to play both of his bands today. This is a band called The Troop of Echoes, which is an instrumental saxophone-fronted rock band. It's a song called Small Fires. Let me repeat again. Dr. Daniel P. Moriarty III.
Lunar geologist.
Who is a lunar geologist. How many times can you do that, like, on site? Not that many.
It's interesting because I was deciding between reporting and lunar geology, and I went with reporting.
Yeah.
Six of one. Half dozen the other.
Aren't they both? It's all just rocks.
It's pretty much rocks.
That's what you would say.
Bill Livingston, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joins us now. There's lots of news. We always talk to Libby about things in Cleveland, but there's we got to start with what is in his purview, which is Ohio State and Urban Meyer. I will say this without establishing my leanings on this. Can you explain the Urban Meyer decision to us?
First of all, let me point out that due to my sad math background, I did, in fact, take geology.
You did?
Also known as rocks for jocks.
Yeah.
Although I was not a jock, of course. Urban Meyer, okay. To me, it was very lucky he wasn't fired. Had he not had a record where he's lost 8 games in 6 seasons?
Boy, your phone is terrible. Speak into your phone. Your phone is terrible. Go ahead.
Had he not lost only 8 games in 6 years, I think he would have been fired. You know, he covered up things in an environment where it's really not considered to be any more defensible anymore to cover up spousal abuse, brutality toward women. He lied. The ridiculous cover story that he was taking medication and it befuddled his memory reminds of Roseanne saying Ambien caused her to send out those awful tweets, and the makers of Ambien said, yes, it does have side effects, and racism is not one of them.
That was such great. A good troll.
That was so funny. Right.
So Ohio State, and I should point this out, they canned Woody Hayes. One of the greatest coaches in the history of college football.
They canned him after putting up with a lot of stuff for a long time.
They canned him. They canned Jim Tressel, national championship coach. They didn't can Urban Meyer. And you know, Livy, it's worse than I thought, because not only didn't he go up the chain at all when he said he did, but he was trying to scrub out all the tweets from his phone.
Right.
So it's even worse. So the only reason not to fire him, and the Ohio State University looks bad in this, the only reason not to fire him is that he can coach football, right? And it's money. It's about money. What else is it?
Yeah. Oh, well, yes. Tressel, you know, just like with Woody had to punch a player before he was on the opposing team, before he was fired.
And Charlie Bauman.
Everybody but Keith Jackson. Yes, Charlie Bauman of Clemson.
Clemson, yep.
And Tressel, they had to know sanctions were coming and they were going to be heavier if Tressel stayed before he was gone. So they did these things under duress every time. Maybe that's how coaches are always fired. But there's not a whole lot admirable in the way they've done these things in the past either.
I understand that. I guess I expected a little. I don't know what I expected.
Scandal
looks, I don't know.
Almost cute and cuddly, doesn't it?
Yeah,
to win. You know, I mean the old good old American way.
So the part
covering up violations that were penny ante.
The part that is obvious to me here is that, and you said it at the beginning, it's his record. He is that good. And that Ohio State, you know, how many programs are we talking about here? Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee,
Clemson,
Nebraska, Clemson, USC,
Texas,
where this is the most important funding they do. Yep. They get all this money from football, and so they are under the thumb. I'm not saying they're under the thumb of the football coach. I'm saying they're under the thumb of the institution of football, right?
Sure. I mean, a big game at Ohio State has 109,000 people. I think it's the third biggest in the country, behind Michigan and maybe Tennessee. And also Penn State. It might be a little bigger. Years ago in the 50s when Bud Wilkinson was getting the Oklahoma program up and rampaging, the president of the school said, we want to have a university that the football team will be proud of.
Yeah. So I think that's – what is the reaction in Ohio? What is the reaction in Columbus? Is it any different than in Cleveland?
I think in Columbus it was probably extremely pro-Urban Meyer. That's the belly of the scarlet and gray beast. And I think in Cleveland – he is from Northeast Ohio, although it's about 60 miles to the east in Ashtabula. This is a big Ohio State town.
Yeah.
The Browns have been so lousy, you know, that's the team they follow now.
So
they
people,
wanted him to stay.
They did. They wanted him to stay.
I get that he keeps his job, well, although I think it's ridiculous, but can we stop with the...
It was more divided here than in Columbus.
Right.
I just can't take the... And maybe that will be done for, but the puff pieces of, like, Urban Meyer, he does it right. He runs a clean
program.
Well,
no, he doesn't. He has the...
I mean, come
his
on.
Not
Bill doesn't write this stuff.
Villains.
I just feel like it's like he was named after a pope. It's like, okay, I mean, well, you know, okay, sure. But
I don't know about the, he does it right. I mean, the Florida things trailed him like the tail of a kite up here.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. This is a guy who I watched actually say this when he was asked his priorities. He said, in this order, they are faith, family, and football. At that point, Livy, I said, I'm done with this guy. I'm done because that's craziness.
For much the same reason. The hook to my column the night he was suspended was a quote, two signs in the football meeting room. One saying Matthew 16:26, the man who gains the whole world and loses his soul, and another in capital letters like a primal scream, treat women with respect. Well, you know, he failed to live up to both of those.
Yeah, he did. All right, we're going to dismiss him. We're going to get to LeBron. Probably the last time you and I are going to talk about LeBron because he's gone and he's never coming back. What is life without LeBron like in Cleveland, Ohio? The last time he left, there was great anger. It's hard for me to imagine great anger because he delivered. He did deliver. What's it like?
Oh, I would say there's maybe 10 or 15% at most that are mad. I think most people feel the way you do, the way I do. It was 4 years of going to the finals. It was the first championship in over a half century. Plus, he's, as I say all the time, he's a different guy now than he was in his first term. The school he's established, and a great deal of it has been funded by him for disadvantaged kids. The charities he's run in Akron, the social activism, in my view, on the right side of history. He's become an admirable figure in the area, and he's done a lot of good for this part of the country.
I think they would like him. He delivered the championship. Kevin Love, this surprised me. He signed up for the long term, and I don't want to be too cynical here, but Kevin Love played 5 years, got great numbers in Minnesota, I don't think ever played in a playoff game. He may just be comfortable being a great player on a bad team. Do you have any thoughts on Kevin Love?
Well, there may be some truth to that. I had admiration for him because he was asked to take a third wheel role at first, yes, behind Irving and LeBron, of course, and he accepted it. They wanted him to bulk up and play five for the center position. Then they wanted him to lose weight and be a stretch four, and he did everything they asked. He's got defensive liabilities, but when the three-point lead in the last 30 seconds of the seventh game of the finals was on the line, he stuck to Steph Curry like the old song, like a stamp to a letter, and missed three. You know, the SWAT, the shot, and the stop are three of the greatest plays in Cleveland history, all in the last 2.5 minutes of the seventh game of the finals. Basically, I admire Kevin Love. He keeps his mouth shut. He did speak out about the panic attacks, and I think he and DeMar DeRozan helped a lot of people doing that. I think he's an admirable figure.
Do they get rid of – I mean, I assume that Ty Lue will be fired by the end of next season as they win 22 games. Is that the way you look at it too?
Of course, his public face is so he's going to be, you know, challenged and reinvigorated to develop players. Well, you know, we'll see about that. He wants to win like anybody else, but he will never be the most lamentable and laughable figure in town, not with old 1-31 Hugh Jackson keeping his job.
Yeah, how many games does he have to win to stay again? Because he's only won one in 2 years.
Maybe double his career, career total?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the great things was on Facebook and on Twitter on January 31, Hugh Jackson Day,
131.
God, so brutal.
5 or 6 wins would be a very good year for them. And people, again, when they came back, you know, they missed football so badly that people actually thought, some friends of mine and a decent amount of fans, not a majority, but a decent amount, thought they were going to make the playoffs as an expansion team. You know, it was the big, I wrote it was the biggest delusion since the little girls in Salem saw the witches.
Yeah.
Biggest mass delusion. And now, you know, they're a trendy long shot pick to win the Super Bowl in Vegas.
Wow.
Give me a break.
It's just
what has this team done in the 20 years almost it's been back except be a laughingstock and an embarrassment to Paul Brown and the history of the Browns? I wish they hadn't kept the colors in the name. They have a losing record now after that magnificent record they had when Modell took over the team. I mean, they've been a civic embarrassment.
So you don't have them in the Super Bowl. You don't have them in the playoffs, right?
I do not.
Neither do I. All right. Thanks, Livy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
Bill Livingston, boys and girls. We will take a break. We'll come back with news. Kevin, are you going to do the
news? I'm here.
Kevin is going to do the news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is another one of my favorite reads. This is the ZipRecruiter read. You know, and it says at the beginning, it says, option number one, personal anecdote. Talk about how challenging hiring is. Like, it's hard to find qualified candidate. Takes a long time, too many applicants. I've really never hired anybody to do anything in my life. I've been the one who has been hired. Gary, you've hired people.
A little bit.
Right? Chris, yeah. You've never hired anybody.
Oh, no one would trust
Kevin,
me
you don't.
That.
Are you in the process of hiring?
Kevin's hired people
before, you've hired people? Is it hard to do?
Yes.
Because that's ZipRecruiter. Listen to this if you're hiring.
Need them.
ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. And as the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day, which is, I guess, if you're hiring, what you're looking for. You know, I hire my children. That's what I do. In fact, Michael is not here today because he's coaching golf, the other paying job that he has, coaching golf. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, listeners to this high quality podcast can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the other band, right?
That's right.
This is the other band from Dr. Daniel P. Moriarty III. This is called Public Policy. It's a straight-ahead rock and roll band, as Dan writes, with thick dissonant guitars and vocals that dig in a little. This is a song called Alluvial Cuts, which is one of our catchier numbers. Another song, Insulin, might be good, too. It's about the time I nearly died from diabetic ketoacidosis.
Oh, my God!
Because I somehow got type 1 diabetes at 29 years old. Fun stuff. The bands are both on Spotify. Could be the most qualified person ever playing in two rock and roll bands.
A lunar geologist.
Yeah.
That's right. Dr. Dan.
Yeah. All right. So we have news, and we have Kevin sitting in to do the news.
How's it been over since you started this pod thing?
The news portion.
We've really enjoyed the podcast. The news has been wonderful.
It has.
But not as good as it would be if you were doing
Who's
the news.
Been doing it?
What do you think
Nigel's
been doing
been
it?
Doing
oh, it's been Nigel.
Yeah, careful where you tread,
without
mate.
Coaching.
Appreciate you listening.
What do you mean without coaching?
It's wow. Well, you used to ask a lot of questions before when you subbed in. You would call me at home and say, what
little
should
hand-holding?
I handle?
Hand-holding?
Okay. Yeah, I was a mentor of Nigel's.
Let's try the news, okay?
So, you know, Tony, I've been off for a couple weeks here.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
But it's given me time to do what I do every time this year, which is start to put the winter weather forecast together.
Yeah. So that's why you took time off.
That's why I took time off. It's why I took time off. So 4 months before winter starts, I've started to put it together. El Nino, La Nina is the big question, as you know,
always.
For the 2018-2019 winter. But I can tell you this.
I believe there was a period of time when you and I were walking a golf course together where you suggested the possibility of a brutally cold winter.
Was that last winter?
Snow.
Remember, it was very cold. It was two weeks ago. I had not started my work. Okay. It's actually going to be even worse than I told you on the golf course.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, right now, it looks like an El Nino winter, which means more precip and more coastal lows.
Mm-hmm.
And the big issue will we have the cold air in place? I know you want it so we can have all those snowstorms
I hate
you love.
Snow.
Is this the news? Or?
By the way, what's going to happen this weekend? Are we just going to have storms all weekend? Is it worth it to go to the beach?
No, the beach could be a mess. Could be a lot of thunderstorms, a lot of rain this weekend. Going to be difficult up in Flushing Meadow. Is that where they still play that tennis thing?
Yes, they do.
This time of year, which
yes,
starts
today?
Yes, they
starts today. US Open.
So people want to know the details of your firing. Are you at liberty to discuss that? Or
not at this point. Okay. And there are many, many details.
Right. So maybe we'll get that later time.
I wasn't familiar with it. Did he do something prior to this?
Bryson DeChambeau won the Northern Trust Open, and he
now
moves to number one, Tony, in the FedEx season point standings. He's number one, Dustin Johnson's two, Justin Thomas three, and Tony Finau, who finished second, moves all the way up to fourth.
There's
in
a
FedEx
there's a
Cup
question
standings.
That comes up with this.
What's the question?
Well, it's about Tiger and Phil and the Ryder Cup.
Right.
Because I think they need to be captain's picks, both of them, because I think that's a television show and that's really what we're gonna have to have. And yet somebody's gonna be left out. Some
well,
big name person.
It's gonna not
be gonna out.
Be Tiger.
Tiger's not going to be left out.
No, he'll be on the team.
Phil's not going to be left out. Jim Furyk is picking these people.
Of course he will.
So somebody who's won a bunch of stuff this year is going to be left out.
DeChambeau, four shots better than Finau.
Do you like what
very
he does?
Well.
Oh, by the way, Keegan Bradley, you want to talk about my life except in terms of separation of scores, although I never score this well. On Saturday, Keegan Bradley shot 62.
Mm.
To put himself either in or near the lead. Yesterday, 78.
Whoa.
That's 16. He's a pro. Mm. That's 16 shot difference.
Where did my
I do that routinely.
Where did my guy who uses the all the same length
that's
club?
DeChambeau.
That's DeChambeau.
That's DeChambeau. Okay, there we go.
So,
I like him.
Bronson Berggruen.
Except for the putter. Bronson, where
he
is
made a move.
Where is Bronson Berggruen relative to this show?
The Gooner?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, we haven't heard.
Aren't we supposed to get him or his caddy on this show?
Yeah,
his caddy. I mean, it's kind of a
yes. You're efforting that. How about that?
Yeah. By Tony, my kid. You talk about that being a TV show, the Ryder Cup, and it is.
Yes, from France.
My kid would rather watch Bryson DeChambeau than Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson. So there's like a generational.
But your kid isn't the people that the advertising
is geared
to.
But I don't know what happens at 20. You know, my kid's only 13, but 10 years older. Who knows?
Tony, the Nats scored runs yesterday. Finally, 32 innings they went without scoring a run. They finally got
34 innings
in the
with
sixth.
One.
Right.
Yeah.
They finally got one in the sixth, and then it opened up the floodgates. They scored 15 and beat the Mets 15-0. Braves and Phils won, so they're still 8.5
isn't
back.
This
says
exactly,
they're really finding their footing.
Isn't this exactly their season?
It has been.
In a nutshell.
Feast or famine, this is their season. They'll score a tremendous amount of runs and none for the next 3 days.
By the way, it was against the vaunted pitching staff of the New York Mets. Oh, and DeGrom didn't face him.
Yeah, they didn't face
stinks.
DeGrom.
Stinks.
Tampa Bay's won eight in a row. They
swept
Boston.
Let me just go back to Chris.
Let's
for
go
a
back
second.
To Chris and the Nats.
Okay, because
yes, that's what I was going to do.
Well done.
Chris wrote me saying, I said, turn away. And he goes, it's like looking into the sun. I can't. Turn away.
He's like, turn it off.
Because
I was watching Gio, and
please
I get so angry. My kids tell me to calm down because I'm yelling at Gio.
That's terrible.
The 500 thing is far more surprising than the missing
playoffs. Gotta catch
playoffs.
That.
Like
they're terrible.
Even when they're below
half in the standings of everybody.
It's crazy.
They're in the bottom half of the league.
I'll tell you what, Murph's hitting. I mean, for the Cubs, but he's hitting. It's like seven for his last 19.
What did you see Bryce rocking the Browns gear?
I didn't. You just showed that to me. What do you think that means? Wearing a Baker Mayfield jersey.
I guess he was boarding the team bus yesterday wearing a Baker Mayfield jersey and a Cleveland Browns hat.
That's
backwards.
Worse. That's worse than the Vegas Golden Knights, which is explicable because
he's from
there. I would bet him and Baker Mayfield are boys. They know each other.
Well, I'll say this: it is not. It's not John Wall wearing an Emmitt Smith jersey on the field.
Amazing.
No. After being invited by the Redskins,
right? But it was weird. I mean, it didn't really. I don't think it bothered me.
I love that the Browns. Like, how many are the Browns cool?
Indians? Anybody?
Baker Mayfield.
You did
Bryce
many,
Harper.
You did,
Indians.
Did you do 3 hours a day or 4 hours a day?
4 hours
before,
a day.
Before
how
you're relieved.
How long of those 4 hours would be devoted to him in a Cleveland?
Five hours. Five hours.
Well, today it would have been certainly 3 to 4 hours. Yes, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, they would have had to break down all of Alex Smith's 9 pass attempts.
No, about 14 pass attempts for Alex Smith, Tony.
In the preseason.
Oh. While this guy, you may have heard of him, Tom Brady's thrown 44 times. Yeah, Redskins have this theory of getting their quarterbacks ready by not throwing the
especially
ball.
Especially the
in
new
preseason
ones.
Games.
This is the Ryan Zimmerman spring training theory, which explains why he bats under 200 for just the first rest. 2 months of the season.
Back to baseball. Bryce Harper's batting average, nice, he was 2 for 2 yesterday, 3 RBIs. He's up to 250 now.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Contract, is he leaving?
From 207, is that where
leaving?
It was?
Is he leaving?
Yes.
And how will the people react in this city?
I don't think very angrily. Do you?
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I'd like to see him stay.
I'd like to see him stay.
The Yanks swept the Orioles. The Orioles have lost 8 in a row, 15 of 17, and they are now just a mere 52.5 games out of first place. But, Tony, 23.5 behind fourth place, Toronto.
For those of you who aren't paying much attention to baseball and who will get excited during the playoffs, let me just tell you something that I don't know that this has happened. I can't identify when this has happened before. The Red Sox and the Yankees are in the same division. They're the two best teams. They have the two most wins. The Red Sox have 90. The Yankees have 83. Mm. The third most wins are Houston. And Houston got beat a lot a couple of weeks ago, but Houston now has 80. The fourth most wins are Oakland. Oakland, who fighting for a wild card position, Oakland. Then the Cubs at 76. Then Seattle and Cleveland at 74. So 6 of the top 7 American teams League. In terms of wins are in the American League. Do you recall anything like this? I don't.
I do not.
How many games out is Oakland? You're saying
1.5.
Yeah, they still have a shot to win the
one
division.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But you know, they're likely. I think Houston's a better
the
team.
The Mariners are 74-57.
Tampa
I couldn't
Bay.
Name. Is Robinson Cano on that team still?
He came
just,
back.
Yeah, just returned.
After,
yes.
after
the Rays
Russell
are the hottest team in baseball and don't have a chance to make
the playoffs.
So my
Tampa
has more wins than the Nats, right?
The National League.
Oh, they're 70-61. They have way more. Yeah.
The National League doesn't have a single team with less than 50 wins. The American League has gotten to fatten up on the O's with 37.
Right.
And the Royals.
And the Royals, who have just 40
right.
wins.
Good job so. Reading the standings.
Yeah, he thank you.
What else do I have?
What else do I have?
Do you have anything else? No. I mean,
yeah, well, I was just going to say,
Nigel.
I was just going to say for all yeah. those football fans and for those that aren't, like Wilbon, who
right.
thinks the NFL's dying,
right.
that Thursday night preseason game between the Eagles and the
this
Browns.
This is an exhibition game.
Was right. the highest rated preseason game on Fox in 5 years.
Was there no Foles, no Wentz?
5-0 right. was the final score.
5-0?
Or did 5-0 play?
Foles played.
Oh, was that the game he hurt his shoulder in?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
I think it was. Okay. And then Ty Taylor got hurt, I think, for Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield came in.
So you think what about football and ratings this year?
Well, I think that they'll be fine. And certainly when you get into November, December, and January, like last year, and you have meaningful games and colder weather and you're past well, this is a midterm election, and maybe Trump will start to dominate.
So let me talk about this, because I didn't know there was a game on NBC last night.
Cowboys-Cardinals.
And I got there, in time for the national anthem. And they showed the national anthem, which ESPN has said it is not going to do. NBC showed the national anthem, and maybe I'm wrong. I didn't see any shots of anybody kneeling. The Cowboys appeared, and Jerry Jones has said this, the Cowboys appeared online, en masse, everybody standing up. I didn't see anything with the Cardinals to indicate anybody kneeling. Does this mean, Kevin, that the policy, as sort of weird as it seems, is going to work?
No, there are going to be people kneeling.
100%.
Were they kneeling yesterday and they just
didn't
show them?
I didn't watch the game. But, Tony, rarely do you watch an NFL game and see the national anthem on television.
Yes.
A Sunday 1 o'clock game, you don't see the national anthem because it was a national TV game. And I guess on that Sunday night NBC thing, they've shown the anthem in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have or haven't, but it's unusual to see the anthem on TV when you're watching a game on TV.
So, anyway. Is that it for news?
That's it. That's what I got.
Can we,
Wanted to mention the Mystics, but we could hold that for a little bit later because they got a huge win.
Do you know who they beat?
Yeah, they did. They beat Atlanta in game one of their semifinal. And I'll tell you, this Elena Deladon.
Yeah, she's good.
She can play
the GOAT.
She's not the GOAT.
That's
she's
Maya
the GOAT.
Moore.
She's not the GOAT.
32 points last night, and she assisted or scored on 13 of their final 17 to pull out a thrilling 87-84 win over the Atlanta. What's their team nickname?
Dream.
Very well done.
Dream. Wow. Dream.
Yeah. Game two, game two tomorrow night, 8 o'clock
Stop
on ESPN.
She's a great player. She's not the greatest player of all time.
That's not one of her teammates, Natasha Cloud, said she's the GOAT.
Wrong.
Greatest of all time.
It's nice.
It's either Taurasi or Maya Moore, both UConn players.
Or Cheryl Miller.
Yeah, Cheryl Miller. You know, yep.
Or Candace
Nancy
Parker.
Lieberman
or somebody.
Wayne
else.
Rooney, maybe.
And by the way, at some
DC
point,
United lost last
at
night
some
to
point,
New York
Brianna Stewart might be in that conversation.
Kevin, proving he's out of game shape, doesn't even mention the hospital security guard in Memphis, Tennessee.
Didn't do the Pope.
Facing charges after two witnesses accused him of sexually assaulting a corpse in a body storage room. How you missed that, I don't know.
Well, I missed it because it wasn't on a cruise ship. Yeah. If it had been on a cruise ship, we would have had it. Tony, also, of course, DC United, you saw the game yesterday. lost to the Red Bulls 1-0. Yeah, but you didn't say it like the way I said it.
We'll be back. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. My podcast listeners are invited to say goodbye to summer with Casper, taking advantage of Casper's limited time Labor Day offer. Casper's expert team of engineers and designers research, prototype, and test their mattresses to meet the needs of all kinds of sleepers and provide that just right balance of comfort and support. All Casper mattresses use premium foams that relieve pressure and help align your body so you fall asleep easy and you wake up feeling refreshed. The breathable design of each mattress helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Try a Casper for 100 nights in your own home risk-free, and if you're not in love, they will come pick it up and refund you everything, no questions asked. My dog has a Casper bed. My dog alternates...
Loves that bed, right?
Alternates between that bed and the tile floor in the bathroom and is happy all the time. Loves the Casper. Loves it. For a limited time, if you visit casper.com/savings, you will get 10% off any order with a mattress. This special offer expires September 3rd, 2018, so act now. That's Casper.com, CASPER.com/savings. And remember that this special offer expires on September 3rd, 2018. That's next week. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Jackson Browne with a song called Loadout. This song was recorded in this area at Merriweather Post Pavilion.
That's right.
41 years ago today. This is a great tune. I love Jackson Browne. In terms of critical commentary, I love Jackson Browne. And when you go to Alexa and you say to Alexa, play me Jackson Browne songs, almost all the time...
This is the one?
This is the one that starts. It doesn't go all the way to the end like in the live version, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful song.
Have you been to Merriweather Post Pavilion ever?
I have indeed. I have indeed. I saw the Great Barry Manilow. Well, no, I didn't.
Right? Oh, was that?
Wait,
yeah,
I didn't actually see the Great Barry Manilow
there
because he had me thrown out.
Thrown out of the
Great
state.
Barry Manilow had me thrown out of the state. Yeah, he didn't apparently like the line of questioning he had received from me. That's a long time ago, but I. You know, do I bear a grudge? Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I certainly
never
did.
Said
By the
you
way,
didn't.
So they go.
But
this,
only forever.
Yeah. Right, just forever. So this song famously goes into the Maurice Williams
Stay.
Stay.
Goes into Stay.
And for those that don't know, the falsetto in that, first of all, Rosemary Butler is the female voice on that. The falsetto is David Lindley, who plays guitar with Jackson Browne. He's the one that does
it. It's just wonderful.
And it's just fantastic.
So Bill Isaacson is here, and you wanted us to mention something. Go to a microphone.
Oh, you got to turn that on. It's Kevin turned it off.
It figures.
Yeah.
Okay. I did it. You owe me.
We've launched GaryShanley.com, which follows at Gary Shandling on Twitter. The website has videos of Gary's stand-up at clubs that has never been seen before. It's got montages put together by Judd Apatow. And then it's got a section of his journals that we're slowly adding to. So all the original journals
I'm looking at it
are
going
to be on there.
What about the two-part HBO special that you had a part in? Is that accessible on that, on GaryShandling.com?
There's a promo for that, but no, it's available on HBO Go.
Right.
Right.
So that's how you should.
Tony
do it
doesn't
there.
Know what right. that is.
I don't HBO know what. Go. No, I don't know what.
Yeah, I'm so watching the trailer it. Right now. Right. Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, Gary Shandling, cool. very funny.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. You probably never had a conversation about Gary Shandling and Neil Simon with Gary Shandling. I wonder what guys who do truly inventive, risky stand-up feel about people who write comedy show. You know, it's different. It's different. I suspect, and I don't want to slander anybody, but I suspect that the Gary Shandlings of the world sort of almost look down their noses at the Neil Simons of the world. But I don't know. I don't know.
I'd be surprised by that.
I think you have to appreciate the greatness in somebody else, even if they're in your sort of sphere.
And you, in general, appreciate anyone who's on TV.
And make you laugh.
Right.
And make you laugh. Right.
I mean, were there criticisms of Simon early in his career that he was like a one-trick pony? All he could do was write funny plays? I mean,
what's wrong with that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right. It's like Chris Carter.
Oh, all he did Bill was catch Shakespeare. Touchdowns. Strictly plays. If he'd stuck with the sonnets, we'd remember him more. No, that's not true. Plays are hard. Very hard. All right, so I haven't been here in a week.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I missed you.
All I did was play golf.
Nice.
That's no. It's
good
not
for the
nice.
Game or yes. bad for the game?
Bad. I am so golfed out. Mm. I am so terrible. I played a couple of times with the Socialite. The Socialite is currently, I believe, in Nova Scotia, playing with Maury and a bunch of other people at a place called Cabot Lodge that I heard was very, very good. So the Socialite, I went out with, this was an all-sports crew. The Socialite, Chick Hernandez, and Steve Buckhans. Now, I hadn't played with Chick Hernandez in 20 years.
Good player.
Very good player.
Yeah, very good player, isn't he?
The last time I played with Chick was at Lansdowne. He shot 70, which was minus two. Chick was two under after 18 holes.
Wow.
Chick has a very odd setup and swing with driver. It's very angry. It's really angry. It's really
aggressive.
Yes. He sets up
stalks
with the ball.
The ball like Keegan Bradley.
He sets up in front of the ball. Most people set their feet first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Chick sets the ball first and then maneuvers his feet around and breathes, takes a very deep breath before he hits driver. Chick hits driver 260, 270. Nice. Chick, he puts every ounce into driver swing, not other swings. Every ounce into driver swing. Mm. I think after 18 holes was plus two.
Mm.
Wow. Chick's really
good.
Must be
fun.
But Buckhantz on one particular hole was 12, 15 yards off the green, took out the putter, as we call the Texas wedge, and threw it
Justin
in.
Justin Leonard style.
Threw it
nice.
In for a birdie. In? So it was very much fun to play with them. Buckhantz, do you remember Buckhantz when he was a little chubby?
Yes.
Buckhantz is...
Yeah, he's trim.
Buckhantz is trim.
And let me say...
Buckhantz is great. Fit.
And let me say this about Buck.
Chick, not as fit as
Buckhantz. Buck's lifestyle...
But strong.
And for those who don't know, Steve Buckhantz is the play-by-play television voice of the Washington Wizards.
That's what I want to get to.
That lifestyle is not conducive to fit and trim. You're on the road, you're eating late, you're working late.
Media, food, yeah.
Dagger!
So, of course, I made fun of both of them. I made fun of the fact that Chick has no job and that he ought to join the senior tour because he's never going to get a job. And I made fun of Buckhantz, who only has this one job. And at one point, I don't know, we were on number four, number five, and I said, yeah, that dagger thing, that gets to be a drag, doesn't it?
He's got it. Do your little thing that we like to hear.
Not possible.
He looks at me like, what? And I said, oh, I'm just kidding. But really, honestly, what do? You say that about 30, 40 times a year? And he says, no, I only say it when it's applicable, only about two or three times.
Yeah,
he is so proud of the fact that I said, did you steal that from somebody? And he said, no.
It's brilliant.
No, I came up with that on my own. And he said, when he first said it, there was some pushback by the producers of the show that it may have been too violent.
Yeah, sure.
It may have been too violent.
For a team that used to be the Bullets,
right,
but changed their name.
Right, and he explained all of that. But he said they let him stay with it. And now people, what's bad is that people all over the country, they use it. And sometimes, like, in the third quarter.
Right, you can't be using it twice in a game. That's not how it works with Dagger.
Stop.
Once. First quarter.
Once. And you better be right. Because if the other team inbounds the ball and throws one in, you look like a moron. So it was very
By the way,
much fun.
This Cabot Links, where your boys are, looks magnificent.
Yeah, it's in Nova Scotia.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah, wait, so Alan is doing something on the high end?
So who's running the restaurant while they're gone?
Well,
I guess you're in charge, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm in charge.
By the way, I think we have free some audio of Buck with one of those famous calls. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah,
love to.
Here we go.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Yeah. Stanley Cup champion.
He did nail it.
I think Wall had just hit a big shot when he said that.
Yes. Who has a better life, the socialite or Tony Kornheiser?
Socialite.
Because
he's not afraid to fly and he goes places.
And he's okay. And he's more fully disengaged. Tony has
still work. Yeah, that's a mistake.
I also wanted to mention, and this is for me personally, there was some trepidation in this. A friend of mine, Tim Tian, had invited Tom Friedman of the New York Times to play at Columbia and asked me if I wanted
He's
to play.
He's a very good player, I've heard.
Well, I'm going to get to
okay,
this.
Okay, all right.
Can you sit down for a little while?
Yeah,
can
I'm
you
sorry. I'm just surprised I even heard of him.
So, and as I like to tell people all the time about Tom Friedman, between us, we have three Pulitzers.
Yep.
He has three, right. And I've got the same amount as Nigel.
Right.
I've got none. Okay.
Well, you've been
so
nominated,
I'm going to... I had heard he was a good player. Right? But I heard he was maybe a little bit intense. And I had some trepidation because I'm not a good player. I'm 20. I'm not a good player. And now we both had worked at the New York Times, but, you know, he'd won three Pulitzers and has. He's probably, Chris, would this be fair to say, he's probably the closest thing to Bob Woodward out there now in terms of
Other
awards.
Than Bob.
And, right. Bob's number one. Bob's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Bob's the GOAT. But Friedman has a lot of books.
Oh, I mean.
They've been number one bestsellers. And he's, you
world
know,
is flat. I mean, he's got a lot. Yes. He also, just one thing, and Bob is like this too. These are people who really, in truth, there's not that many journalists who this is true for, but really don't need to ever work again. Right?
No.
But he, Friedman especially, I mean, he's always like in Bangladesh. He's traveling around doing his reporting. It's really admirable because in truth, he could play golf 365 days a year.
And if he did play golf 365 days a year, and he belongs to some very, very great golf clubs around the country, if he did, he could be a one or a two. He's a four right now.
Wow.
He can shape a shot. You go around with him, he got the best caddy in the world, Tachi. And Tachi, he would say, Tom would say, what do I have to do here? And Tachi would say, there's the line. You want to hit it about 250 or something like that. He's in his 60s, and he can still drive the ball 250.
He is 65. I just looked it up.
Is he?
65.
Okay. He can still drive the ball. He can, as we say in the trade, he can golf his ball. I mean, he finished plus four, all right, on a course he had never seen. And the hardest thing to do is putt. You know, you're right. Not familiar with the greens.
Right,
you know,
right.
He had a substantial amount of birdie putts. If he put it in the sand and he got angry, he put it out of the sand and
right
close.
Right.
I mean, he tried to help me in the sand. And I said to him, I looked at him and I said, one of the things we're not going to talk about at all is the Middle East. Because I'm bad in the sand. So we don't want to talk about that. And that was the end of that. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. We also played with Mark Tui. We had a wonderful time. And Tom Friedman can play. And he's not the world's largest guy, you know, and he's powerful. And I said, how did this come about? Well, he grew up in Minneapolis, and he was of the same group of people, the Coen brothers. He's friends with the Coen brothers. Mark Trestman was the high school quarterback of his school, who became a head coach in the NFL. There's a lot of people in the Minneapolis area who went on to become famous. And he's one of them. He told me the story of having the great high school teacher, the journalism class. He had no particular direction. Had the great teacher, decided this is what I want to do.
That's cool.
And within 12 years of that moment was the New York Times bureau chief in the Middle East.
Wow. Golfed as a kid? Because not like a mecca for golf.
No,
Minneapolis.
No, not at all. But golfed as a kid with his dad.
Okay.
And I said, well, so what were your goals as a golfer? And he said, I wanted to be able to play anywhere and play good enough that nobody would say, what's this guy doing here? And boy, has he achieved that. I mean, he's really good and really good to play with. And he was very chatty.
So not intense as you were
concerned. Well, no, I mean, well, with
focused,
me, it's hard with me because I am so chatty and so bad that, you know, that I make it easy for people to be around unless they, that doesn't mean they ever want to play with me again. So I started talking about the, you know, we have shared history at the New York Times. We had worked for the same people. We'd worked for Abe Rosenthal and Arthur Gelb. And you know, there's a bonding that takes place with that lasts for the rest of your life, because you always have stories about what it's like to work at the New York Times. I've had the unbelievable good fortune of working for, I guess, the two most legendary newspaper editors in Abe Rosenthal and Ben Bradley of all yep. time, and I worked for Len Downey. I mean,
that's a pretty good run.
I had
helped make those guys.
All that you could have. So we were talking, and he asked about the podcast, and I told him about the podcast, and he said, "I'd like to be on." And I said, "Well, you'd have to sit in. You have to take a seat. You have to be there for the full length of the podcast." And he said, "Sure." And I said, "And I want you to know, we're not going to talk about the Middle East. No. We're going to talk about golf and the Vikings." And the Vikings, because, and I will say this, and I've said this to other people, there are 100 teams in the four, maybe more than 100 probably, 122 teams, right? 122 teams in the four major sports in America. Sure. 122 teams, because there's 32 NFL and 30 with everybody else.
Right.
122 teams. Minnesota Vikings fans are the most passionate, the most rabid, the most self-delusional, the most totally consumed with their team of any of these teams. I know this. I know Vikings fans. The first thing Friedman said, he said, "We're sitting down. We're getting ready to go off on one." He said, do you mind if I ask you a sports question? I go, "What is it? How do you think the Vikings are going to do?"
Skull.
You know, how do you think the Vikings? He's not. It's not the Twins. It's not the hockey. It's not the Vikings. Paul Tews, you know him.
Absolutely.
Same way.
Giant
Joe
Vikings
Paulson,
fan.
The same way. Doug Melamed, big time.
And they've got our
Vikings.
Guy, Kirk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
well, that's.
I think it's Kurt. Actually.
That's
oh,
the
Kirk
whole
Cousins.
Thing. And
Kirk.
I said, this Kirk. Is the most inordinate amount of pressure on any athlete in the world, including LeBron James. That's on Kirk Cousins. And they live and die with the Vikings. He's telling me how he gets Viking news, how he gets the newsletters when he's in Baghdad.
Sure.
Because that's all Vikings fans care about are Vikings. I think I'm right about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
I went to his official page, by the way, thomaslfriedman.com.
He writes for Golf Digest.
The first thing in there is Tom Friedman's talk at the Western Golf Association. That's really cool.
I never knew
that about him.
He can't take any money for the talks?
No,
but he can say, "I'd like to play that club."
Sure.
Right. And he's good. So we'll bring him in. Yes?
Cool.
We'll bring him in.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Because I want him to take Michael to some of his fancy joints.
Oh, right. There you go. Michael. Isn't Minnesota now, aren't they on the clock as the city that hasn't had a championship in the longest time now?
No, I didn't know that. Are they?
Yeah, I think the Twins.
The Twins in 91?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Because Washington won and took
of towns with all the
four.
Sports.
Yeah, with
oh,
four
well, there
majors.
Aren't that there aren't that many with yeah. all four. Yeah.
But Washington was the leader.
I didn't know that.
Yes, until
all right, let's take a break. I just really enjoyed myself, and I'm sucking up to him now because I want him to invite me places. We will come back with email and jingle.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
That's the Cane Bay High School Choir. That's South Carolina, right?
Yes, yeah, Somerville, South Carolina. Fantastic. From William Bennett.
Fantastic.
It's my second favorite jingle.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Bill Livingston, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, for coming on with us today. Let me thank Kevin for being here for as long as he could be.
Sheeman.
I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Casper Mattresses, ZipRecruiter, and Lowe's. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Now, I don't know that everybody hears all of the ads. Like, do they hear the Lowe's ad? Because Mike Roseberry of State College, Pennsylvania says, if Tony keeps on talking about cleaning his tools and getting into tight places, I'm not letting my kids listen to the podcast.
Valid point.
From Peter Jennings, not that Peter Jennings. Oh. We have a bunch of people like that. My friend Tom Jones, who now signs his email to me, not that Tom Jones. Dear Mr. Tony, I immensely enjoyed your return to the podcast world and the story of your new friend George, who travels to Tokyo 1 week a month from the train. Have George look me up. I'm unqualified but frequent tour guide of the Tokyo American Club. Remarkably, at the exact time you were trapped like a badger in a cage, I had the high honor and privilege of meeting and giving such tour of tack to the family Ledecky. Oh, as Katie, her parents, and brother were in Tokyo for the Pan Pacific Games. My underachieving life flashed before my eyes upon meeting the Ledeckys, and all I could blurt out was, I feel like I know you all from the Tony Corners of Show podcast, and you were terrific. We spent most of the time talking about their great experience on the show. They're big fans, too. The Ledeckys are as humble, gracious, wonderful, genuinely nice people in person as they sound on the radio. I have an autographed swim cap from the Katie Ledecky now in my Hofwaff. Isn't that wonderful? Weren't they nice?
They're just the best.
Don't we root for them?
Absolutely.
Jason Bowen, a biology teacher at Dover High School, which I assume is in Dover, Delaware, capital. My family and I had a wonderful time supporting your for-profit venture this evening before your August 15th evening podcast. I was the guy who shook your hand after Appalachian State guys slobbered all over you on the way into the studio. After years of figuring I'd run into you at the Browseabout in Rehoboth, it was nice to meet you in person, if only briefly. I also saw Michael Bootsy and the Wine Tyrant from afar. Our kids inhaled the Chatter Burgers. My wife enjoyed the Reuben. Calamari was great. We all ordered desserts, which were good, too. My 7-year-old son gave Chatter 5 stars, plus a Michelin star, but he calls them Mythian stars.
Michigan
of course,
man.
Like, I'm a Mythian man. The person related to such a Tyson thing. The person related to me by marriage has turned him into a hotel snob like you. It's costing me thousands anytime we go anywhere. But our bathrobe collection is growing. After years of subjecting them to the podcast, my 13-year-old daughter claimed the other day that she must be a loyal little because she likes the Beach Boys. My 16-year-old just rolls her eyes and said, not this again. Anyway, thanks to you and the gang. Dina in Damascus, who will be reordering Liz's brownie sundae the next time she's at Chatter, writes, just catching up on the summer podcast. Here are my comments. Been to Croatia. It's prettier than Rehoboth. You'd like the island Hvar. Cow tipping is, I think, a pre-internet hoax. I grew up in rural upstate New York where cow tipping only seemed to happen without cameras and locks of alcohol, making the story suspect at best. My dentist told me today I have deep pockets, so I need to pay for an extra deep cleaning, including Novocaine. Did she mean deep pockets in my gums or my wallet? Just not sure. From John Mioli in Baltimore. When you were talking to Jason Lockenfora last week about CFL quarterbacks keeping Johnny Manziel off the field, he was searching for that man's name when he said mine, John Mioli, instead. The littles in my life were thrilled by the slip, which makes sense considering I cover the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun, and Jason has certainly had a lot to read about. Even the most accidental connective tissue counts, right? Yes, it does. Steve the Sycophant, dear Grandpa Satchmo, your travails with toothaches and deflated tires were heartbreaking, dear Toby, but your deer encounter? Come on, you're afraid of a tiny buck with one teensy-weensy deformed antler? When deer invade my backyard, I just clap my hands. If that doesn't work, I run at them, screaming that I'll murder their fawns if they don't clear out. Huh. And they run like rabbits. Now, this doesn't work with snakes, mind you. For them, it's a long shovel and nerves of steel, but deer, be a man. Tony, be a man. Steve the Sycophant. Dr. Tom O'Brien, senior scientist and vice president at TetraCorp. Let me get this straight. You drive a really high-level Cadillac that can drive 60 miles on a flat tire and own a little house that goes unused, but you make your wife drive a 2004 Jeep that makes stomach sounds when it runs. In the words of the great Brian Arakpo, come on, man.
Put that way, it does seem a little weird, but right. It's not quite like that.
Okay, here we go. My name is Scott Burgoon from Arlington, Texas. Official home of the Dallas Football Cowboys. I had a brush with greatness. The last one I had was when I met Larry Cole back in the 70s. So hearing your reference to Bronson Burgoon, it made me wonder if I was related to him. Could you find out from me?
No, yeah, sure.
By the way, even though your show stinks, it is the greatest and best radio podcast ever. Is that enough praise, Michael? Michael didn't hear you. But thank you, Scotty B. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles for you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have waking up every day.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
And on that note...